tonight, so the sermon title is Missing the Christ of Christmas. And I'm a little froggy, as you can tell. I thought my voice was better a little earlier, but maybe it'll come back. But a greetings to all of you members and also visitors alike. We're so glad to have you here with us. Hope you had a wonderful time this time of the year that we call Christmas. In our homes, of course, we often take the time to get together as a family and eat, probably eat a little too much. I don't know about you guys, but it's become a joyful time of reunion with loved ones. In our churches, it's a time when we get to celebrate the birth of Christ, that time in history when after 400 years of silence, that intertestamental period, the Creator invades his own creation and becomes created. It's a time when we get to sing the beautiful and powerful hymns. We've had so much music today. It's been such a blessing. But is it possible to miss the Christ that Christmas is supposed to represent? Is it possible to get so caught up in the materialism of the time that Christ is hardly the focus of anything we do? And conversely, is it possible that we look more like the Grinch that stole Christmas, not just at Christmas, but all year round? And if we are missing the life-changing communion with Christ that would represent either one of those poles, and the joy of having Christ as our Lord and Savior, is it possible that others will get the wrong impression about our Jesus? Well, we know that the people that should have been there were missing when Christ came. I wrote this poem some years ago. It's called, Where Were They? Where were they, I must ask myself, when Christ our Lord was born? Did work prevent them to attend that glorious Christmas morn? Men of the East came from afar without the written word. God's shiny heaven spoke to them. They followed what they heard. A star was there for all to see, but only Gentiles came. Why were not God's own chosen ones their Savior there to claim? But the question now that troubles most, that cuts me to the nerve, is where am I when people ask, show me this Christ you serve? My email's packed, I'm on the phone, I've other things to do. Their longing fades like fleeting star. God is hidden from their view. Avoiding what my heart confirms, the blame I try to hide, but Jesus clearly says again, for their life I have died. Now nearer still to conscience stirred is where then will I be when Christ the King shall come to earth and reign eternally. The ones you blessed with special truths were missing from their post. Forgive them, Lord, and I the same. We missed what mattered most. To gain the time, I shall not wait your love and grace to tell some precious soul my life to draw back from the gates of hell. Well, turn with me this morning to Luke as we look at the old, old story. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and onward. Luke chapter 1, because it is there in the midst of what was not humanly possible that God tells Mary what? Nothing is impossible, right? Nothing is impossible with him. That's what we read as we look in Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, this is verse 26, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest," or the Most High. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit, that is the breath of heaven, will come upon you." Thank you. "And the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, whose nickname was barren, is already in her sixth month. For with God, how much shall be impossible? Nothing shall be impossible." In the days of the prophet Zechariah, something seemed impossible. That was rebuilding the temple. They'd started quite well, but the work had completely stopped. God's people were discouraged and frightened, kind of like Mary was in her day. It was then that God assured them that the victory would come not by might, that is, by the strength of many. Sometimes we somehow feel like we have to have numbers to accomplish anything for God. That's not what the scripture says. Not by might and not by power, that is the power of some gifted, charismatic leader. God doesn't need that either. But by my spirit, that is the breath of heaven, says the Lord of armies. God needs more people like Mary, quite frankly, humble, dependent, selfless, unsure of herself, but fully surrendered to the will of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear, in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now, be with me now. night and my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you as you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your.
Indeed, if there's something going on in your life that's just a little bit scary, you know that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? And you need the same breath of heaven that Mary needed at that time. Well, the story of the actual birth of Christ and the pagan origins of Christmas could more well be seen in not we three kings, which is certainly not accurate, but we two kings instead. Why do I say so? Well, turn now to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 2. As we look at the visit of the Magi from Arabia, there may have been 1,000 of them. There certainly were more than three. We think, well, they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe there was three. No. This would have been a large procession, we are quite sure. But the two kings we see here are, of course, King Jesus. There's another king mentioned. Verse 1, chapter 2, Matthew. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the what? The king. So there's a battle of two kings, and this battle goes on and on. It's still alive and well in our day. Behold, wise men or magi from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born the what? King. So you have a king who hears about another king. What do you think he's going to think about that? King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king, notice, heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes, people together, he inquired where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And then he would go on to say, "Oh, great, let me know when you find him, because I want to," what? Worship. So we have a situation that involves two kings, one from heaven, one from earth. And one deserves our worship, that would be Christ. The one from earth demands worship, but does not deserve it. Of course, Christ would come in the fullness of time. But this earthly king and this whole Christmas era that we're in, or this pagan mixture that we have, would think to change times and laws. You know about that, right? Christmas, we know, is not December 25th, almost for sure. When it is exactly, we don't know. Some say September, some say October, but it certainly wasn't December. That change was made by Constantine in the 4th century. Now, your Adventist brain should be saying, "Constantine, 4th century? Hey, I remember something else that happened at that same time period, like within the same decade." Christmas then was put to the winter solstice in December as the worship of Saturnalia. Now, here's another thing about Saturnalia, the worship of Saturn, this festival of Saturnalia. Saturn, the worship of Saturn was to bring in a golden age. Anybody ever heard that phrase lately? Yes, you have, from our president and many others. So it's interesting, the connections there between the two. Christ, the King of heaven, comes to save. King from earth cannot save. Christ was born a king eternal. The earthly king was made just that, an earthly king. And Herod had he had some great feats of rebuilding things, the temple included. But by the time that Christ was born, the man was a mess, if you read the history of him. Now, friends, we need not just a king, but the king. Amen? We need to know the king. Not a king, the king. And not just the king, but our king. Amen? It's got to be personal. You read the Old Testament, it says, "The Lord your God." It doesn't just say the Lord. That would be enough. But he's the Lord your God. Amen? It's got to be a personal thing between us and Christ. It is important to know who the Antichrist is. But if you know that and don't know Jesus Christ, oh, what a tragedy. Do you know Christ today as your Lord and Savior? Or do you just know about the Christ child?
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Amen. We need to know the King. Amen. We need to know our King. Amen. Well, church family, we don't know exactly when Christ came to this earth. That is, which month. There's a lot of difference in opinion on that. We're quite sure it wasn't December 25th. But exactly when, we don't know. But we do know why he came. Came to bring us life and life more abundantly. He came to bring us forgiveness and freedom and forever fellowship with him. He came to bring us the awe and wonder of looking on one who did not count equality with God something to be grasped or to be held onto, but became a part of the very creation that he created. From the days of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ was one with the Father. He was the image of God, the image of his greatness and majesty, the outshining of his glory. It was to manifest this glory that he came to our world. To this sin-darkened earth, he came to reveal the light of God's love to be God with us. Since Jesus came to dwell with us, we know that he's acquainted with our trials and sympathizes with our griefs. Whatever you're going through today, he knows about it. He cares, and he has the power to change things. Amen. Every son and daughter of Adam may understand that our Creator is the friend of sinners. For in every doctrine of grace, every promise of joy, every deed of love, every divine attraction presented in the Savior's life on earth, we see God with us. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death that was ours, that we might receive the life that was only his. And with his stripes, come on, church, finish it off, we are healed. Christ came to walk the humble lot of men, and yet to heal the sick and to open the eyes of the blind. He came to bear our burden of guilt and to spoil the domain of death and to open for us the gates of paradise. This is why he came.
Bethlehem's tiny crowded town, raised in Nazareth, a king without a crown. He sat with sinners, the lowly and the lame. Some didn't understand, but he was not ashamed. Isn't that why he came? A poor lost world to save, to carry all our shame and heal the hurt away. Bring hope to the hopeless, shield them from the blame. Oh, isn't that why he came? Dressed in tattered clothes, homeless and abused, only heaven knows the things that he's been through. It would have been easier to turn and walk away. But Calvary compels our hearts to stay. Isn't that why he came? A poor lost world to save, to carry all our shame and heal the hurt away. Bring hope to the hopeless, shield them from the blame. Oh, isn't that why he came? For the rich man in a mansion, for the beggar on the street, for the one who needs compassion, for the strong and for the weak. Isn't that why he came? A poor lost world to save, to carry all our shame and heal the hurt away. Bring hope to the hopeless, shield them from the blame. isn't that why he came? Oh, isn't that why he came?
Amen. Well, love to man is the earthward manifestation of the love of God. It was to implant this love to make us children of one family that the King of glory became one with us. And when his parting words are fulfilled, love one another as I have loved you. When we love the world as he loved it, then for us, his mission is accomplished. We are fitted for heaven, for we have heaven in our hearts.
The first known was his sword temple shepherds in fields as they lay, even fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Oh, indeed, Father, may we announce that you are our King, that you are the King, the only King to those around us. Lord, we're entering a new year and we need the Holy Spirit's guidance more than ever before, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of armies. Oh, please come upon us individually and corporately as a church. Give us direction, give us guidance, give us power. Send the fruit of the Spirit upon our lives that others may see you in us. And when they do, Lord, we'll be sure to give you alone the glory, for you are the one who is so, so deserving. Be with each one here. Bless each one and bless the families represented in this upcoming year, Lord. May we be closer to you than ever before, that you might shine like that guiding star to the Magi in the days of old, to those around us. And we thank you for loving us, in Christ's name. Amen.